Hi, this is Diane Cannon. You're listening to TV Confidential.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse.
We're talking to Bob Mills. Bob is the author of The Laugh Makers, a behind-the-scenes tribute to Bob Hope's incredible gag writers, which you can find through Bear Manor Media. Yeah, BearManorMedia.com, Amazon.com, wherever books are sold online, as well as Bob's.
And I also have on Audible.com. You go to Audible.com, and I record for the blind, as you know.
That's right, I do.
So they came to me, and they said, would you record your book? And I said, sure. And then I got to thinking, and I said, you know, I would like to have the book read, and I don't want to have to do it again for commercial purposes, so I'll do it for you if you'll give me the discs at the end. So it's 11 hours, 11 hours and 40 minutes, I think. It's a long book. It's like 365 pages.
Well, you cover a lot of history.
Yeah, and it's a nice little handbook of show business of that time. And so I read it, and it does well on audible.com, and you can pick it up. You can also get it on Kindle. Get this, for $2.99.
That's a bargain.
Just download the thing on Kindle and put it on your device, whatever you've got, to read books like that. And I've got all the bases covered, Ed.
And I guess the only base we haven't mentioned is Bob Mills' own website, which is Laughs Illustrated.
Yeah, what that one is, people ask me, you know, do writers ever really retire? And I say, no, you can't, because you become inured to thinking in a certain way. And writing for people like Bob Hope, who was a topical monologist, we were always writing for his stage act in between the mm-hmm. television shows. So every single day you'd open the paper, and the first thing you'd think about, what can I write about today? And he's thinking the same thing, and he's ordering, you know, he would call up topics, and he'd say, I think we ought to do something about this or that or whatever. And like today, he would call and say, Michelle Bachman is quitting. Let's do some things on mm-hmm. that. I just heard that this morning. Yeah. Well, the comics will jump all over that, because that's she's a good hot topic, mm-hmm. you know, for humor.
And he was not afraid to he was not afraid to comment on what was going on politically.
That's right. And he did it in a way that did not really mark him as being right or left or anything. He was going for the laugh every single time. So we were a non-denominational writing staff that you could just about write about anybody, even people that he liked real well. If you came up with a solid joke, that's what he wanted, and that's what he craved, was that laugh. So when I stopped actually doing work for Bob Hope, I was still thinking that way, so I started a blog, and I've been doing it for years, and I just started this one called Laughs Illustrated, because it's got photos with each item, and just a little more visual, and it's easy to find.
Does
Laughs Illustrated. Yeah, I think I'm going to put that in. The first one will be Ed Robertson doing a lingerie ad. But that's laughsillustrated.blogspot.com.
Laughsillustrated.blogspot.com.
And it's daily. And then if you just want it on the weekends, there's a weekend edition, too. You can get it by email every day. Get about 5 lines. And so it's fun. And it keeps me going. And I put a little ad in there every once in a while to remind people that I do have a book. And I do talks illustrated with Bob Hope clips that I have a plethora of. And I've done those on cruise ships, and now I'm doing them a lot at libraries. Just did a little over a year ago, the South Pasadena
Library, which is not far from where
National
we record
National Library
our
of Congress.
There
yes.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about Hope in the Monologue, because I know the monologue is a very important part of any show that he did. But I want to go back to something we said a little bit earlier about how Hope pretty much worked well into his 90s. If I remember, I mean, he all of his television shows were for NBC. Did he have, that you know of, did he have like an exclusive lifetime contract with NBC?
Well, that's the way it turned out. He just started in radio on NBC, and he became a big star for them. And then when they switched over to television, he had appeared on various shows, and he had ideas about what the studio should look like. So they moved the studio from down in Hollywood and Vine. It used to be at Hollywood and Vine, and moved it over to Burbank. He pretty much designed the Burbank television studios there, where Johnny Carson was done all those years. And it was his idea to bank the seats so that the audience could see over the tops of the equipment, because theaters aren't made for viewing television shows being shot. There's a lot of lights and stuff with stands and everything. And so Bob wanted the audience to see what was going on, because a lot of his stuff was visual. And a good example of that, we did a special in Australia, opening the Perth Entertainment Center in 1978.
Is that the one with Barbara Eden?
Yes.
And Florence Henderson?
Florence Henderson.
Yeah.
We took them down there. Their shows were in their first run then, so boy, the people were just so excited to, and he was so mad. He says, God, they're getting more fans chasing them than I am. You know, but it was great. We loved Australia.
Nobody wanted to see Bob Hope's navel.
Yeah, that's right. But we were in this big auditorium that had 8,300 seats. Well, that's like the Superdome almost, you know. It's big. So, and you're doing a sketch, you got to be able to see. So we did a sketch where they put the microphones on long fishing poles, like surf rods, big long surf rods with the microphone at the end, so that we could stick them up there and the guests could speak and the audience could still see very well. And then we had cameras stationed at seven different positions all around the auditorium, so he didn't have cameras moving and a lot of dolly shots and things like that, but we had a lot of coverage, and it worked out well, because I could see always his primary thought was the audience has to see to get the joke, and they have to see you at all times, because his delivery of the joke is very important. Plus, they should never see anything in advance. So it was funny. He would rehearse his monologue to make sure that Barney, the cue card man, was the right distance from him on an easel. And so he'd want to get a feel for where he was, especially on the road like that. And so he would have Barney stack the cards on the easel, as he would on the real monologue, but turn them upside down and then flip them. And then he would turn them over every once in a while and edit them. But he didn't want the audience to look at the joke. So
right.
He'd say, no looking, no fair looking. You know. tipping off the laugh. So, and then he didn't like audience warm-ups for that reason, that you wear out the audience. He wanted to get a fresh audience that was ready to laugh and hadn't been laughing at some warm-up comic
for a half hour.
That's
kind of courageous, though, because if a joke, I mean, the idea of having the warm-up act is to get, I guess, to have the audience exercise their laugh muscles. So
yeah,
would be
one
more.
Would think, yeah. And in the old days, it probably was a lot like that. But at NBC, we used to inherit a lot of audiences from, like, Johnny Carson and other shows. They did Hollywood Squares there. So a lot of times, they would have been laughed out by the time. So he never had an audience warm-up guy, and it would take us a while sometimes to set up at the studio. So I said to him one time, I said, you know, that audience has been sitting there for an hour, and they're waiting for you to come out, and you may not be out for an hour or so. And then he would come out and, you know, chat with them and stuff. I said, in the meantime, why don't we show them on the studio monitors some of the sketches that we've already shot? Because it was shot over 3 or 4 days, and we would have had stuff in the can already. Maybe not edited the way it would air, but enough that they could see what we taped. And so we started doing that, and then the audience was ready to laugh. By the time he came out, they'd already seen a couple of sketches, and they got a feel for the show and the other guests that we had on and that sort of thing. So that was something that he did for the rest of his time when he was there and showing those. And then I think a lot of shows do that now to keep the audience from just having to stare at guys moving lights and fixing the set.
We're talking to Bob Mills. Bob spent more than two decades as a comedy writer in network television, including 15 years as a staff writer for Bob Hope. We'll take a quick time out, then we'll continue our conversation with Bob Mills here on TV Confidential.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of The Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why The Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by the Structured Settlement Cash Hotline. Did you know it's possible to receive upfront money in one large payment from your structured settlement? Yes, you can. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want to access your money today, call us. It's your future cash. Why not put it in your hands today? Don't wait any longer. This is the best solution if you need money to pay your bills or even help a family member who's been affected during this global time of crisis. Everyone needs a little money right now, and our hotline is here for you. If you have a structured settlement where you're getting money spread out over time and you want it faster, call now. This simple 10-minute call can get your money now. The call is free, and it costs you nothing.
800-965-7987. 800-965-7987. 800-965-7987. That's 800-965-7987.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/tvconfidential, x.com/tvconfidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.